Hello and welcome to this Economy and Infrastructure Wales podcast brought to you by Business News Wales. I'm Gemma Casey, editor of Business News Wales, and in this episode we're continuing our focus on one of the most significant infrastructure projects in the UK, the Global Centre of Rail Excellence, or GCRE, in South West Wales. Well, GCRE is set to develop a major new rail research, testing and innovation facility on a site the size of Gibraltar, which crosses the Neath Port Talbot and Powys local authority areas. So who are the customers who could use GCRE? What value do they see in the new infrastructure? And what are the spin-off benefits for Wales? Well, joining me to discuss this are Simon Jones, Chief Executive at the Global Centre of Rail Excellence, Noel Travers, Chief Executive Officer of Buckland Rail and Chair of the Railway Industry Association, and Noel Dolphin, Managing Director of Furrer and Frey. Hi all, thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Simon, let's kick off with you then. So for anybody that is new to the idea of the Global Centre of Rail Excellence, tell us a bit more about the project.
Hi Gemma, good to see you again. Thank you for the opportunity. Yes, so we explained this in a previous episode, so apologies for people who've heard this before. But GCRE was envisaged as an economic development project. We are 15 miles from the Tata Steelworks in Port Talbot, so there's an obvious need for significant impact on the local economy. The site we have is a former open cast coal mine where 250 people worked before we bought the site. So we're meeting a demand, if you like, in terms of economic development. But this is not just some spurious idea that was conjured up in a back room in government, which was some kind of sort of statist intervention to kind of create a project with no demand. This project is meeting unmet market demand from the UK, but really, really interestingly, from overseas as well. This is the facility we're going to be building here. Has attracted interest from the domestic railway industry, the European railway industry, and beyond. And the reason for that is that there is nothing quite like what we're doing in total. There are elements of what we will provide that are already provided for in the market, mostly in Europe, frankly, rather than in the UK. Well, there are some facilities, but they don't offer the range of services that we do. But where facilities do exist, either they're suboptimal or they're massively oversubscribed. So we're building a number of loops here that railway vehicles, trains, and infrastructure, so everything which doesn't move, so signals, electrification, which I'm sure Noel will talk about in a minute, drainage systems, track, the whole shooter match, where that can be proved, tested, and demonstrated. You need somewhere huge to be able to do this. There isn't anywhere quite like this, as I say, in the UK. And those places that do exist are oversubscribed, as I say. So the market has been telling us for the last 5, 6, 7 years that if we build this, people will come. And I mean, that sounds a little bit like Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams, but it's a bit more than that. We've now got nearly 250 organizations who've said to us that they would like to be able to use GCRE when it's open, that they think it's a good idea. They will bring their testing environments here. Around 20% of those organizations that express support are from overseas. So this is a big export opportunity as well for the UK. And we'll put Wales at the center of the map when it comes to railway innovation. Whilst there's not anything quite like this in the UK in the railway space, there are similar things in the automotive space. So everyone, I guess, listening will have heard of Silverstone. Some people may have heard of Myra, some people may have heard of Millbrook automotive testing centres. Those places are really now the hubs of the UK automotive R&D industry, and an awful lot of international firms use those places as well. And when you go to those places, as I've been lucky enough to do to some of those places, they're huge technology parks. When you walk around or drive around, you see household name companies who've relocated their R&D facilities onto those sites. They've moved out of the factories and onto those sites. That's what we want to create here in the long term. So it isn't just about testing a few trains. It's about testing the entire railway gamut of technology, but also those firms relocating some or all of their development activities over time to a place like this because they'll get facilities here that they can't get anywhere else. And that's really what we're interested in trying to do. That's where the to go back to the beginning, the economic development piece comes from. But it's not just us pushing people to do that. There's a real pull because there isn't anywhere that looks quite like this.
Yeah, Simon, thank you for that. So you've painted a really clear picture there of what GCRE could and will become in time. What stage is it at the moment? Now, I know some projects have already taken place there. So tell us sort of what's happening at the moment and what the next steps are.
So it's been I think the euphemism is challenging time for us, Gemma, with economic conditions over the last few years. When we started this out, we wouldn't have envisaged the COVID or Ukraine or Iran now, the impact of domestic policies on railway in particular, but on interest rates and inflation. And that's made our job more difficult than perhaps we envisaged at the beginning. We need to secure significant private investment to be able to make this work. The government, well, the Welsh government and the UK government between them have put in £77 million into this project so far. And I think that's a measure of how much government believes that this is the right thing to do. But that is not sufficient. We need a further £350 million to deliver the kind of initial phase of this. And that needs to come from the market because well documented that government doesn't have that kind of money sitting around down the back of the sofa. So we've spent a lot of time trying to raise that money from the market. And whilst investors can see the use case for this place, all of those macroeconomic conditions have made it really difficult for investors to invest in an unproven proposition. We are not like investing in a wind farm or an office block in the center of a city where you can look at other wind farms or office blocks and say, I know if I build a 7-story version of that, I'm going to be able to get tenants and I'm going to be able to charge this much rent and this is how much it's going to cost me to build. None of those metrics exist for Rail Test Center because of its uniqueness. And it's really difficult for the market. So what the feedback that we've had loud and clear is, yes, we'll invest, but we need some government underpinning to make that work. So we would put the money in, but we would need to have some form of guarantee that if the forecast financial performance doesn't take place, we will not lose our shirts. And that's not atypical. That's how all sorts of infrastructure that's funded with private money actually gets delivered, not just in the UK, around the world. So private money, but with a government guarantee. And that's what we need to do here. So it's been slightly frustrating. The timings have taken a bit longer than we thought. We've been keenly awaiting the access to the Senate so that we can engage with the new government about this. So that process is beginning now with government. But just as an aside, the thing that has really been occupying us, which will take some of the edge off that ask of government, is the work that we've been doing on a completely separate project to be able to secure a partner to develop energy and data center assets on the site. Now, that might sound like it's nothing to do with the railway, and it isn't anything to do with the railway, but what it does do is deliver for us a potentially significant cash injection to the business, and importantly for government, huge amounts of non-domestic rates in the long term. And the proposition that we have is that those non-domestic rates could be used to underpin whatever guarantee gets provided. So it's, tactically, it's really, really important for us. In terms of what's been going on with the railway here, we bought the site 5 years ago. We've done some work here. We staged a competition with support from the UK government showcasing innovation in railway construction products. And we were delighted with the work that took place on site. And Noel Dolphin will talk in a minute, I'm sure, about some of the great things that he and his colleagues have done up here already. So there are some fantastic products already showcased here that our clients can bring their clients to show off these innovations, which you can't really see anywhere else. It's, you know, for our clients, the ability for them to be able to bring others to come and look at products in a real world setting is really, really important. And I guess you can't bring clients to come and kick around on a live railway line looking at newly installed products. It's just not safe or rational to do that. We offer that opportunity here. So that's beginning. There's work ahead for us in terms of making the project happen, but that's well underway as well.
Great. Thank you, Simon. Noel Dolphin. So Simon's referenced there some of the work that you've been involved in already at GCRE. So before I ask you to tell us a bit more about that, first of all, start off by outlining for us what is Furrer and Frey.
So yeah, we're a rail engineering company who's focused on getting power to trains. So as electrification, as Simon mentioned, but also charge stations and other new emerging technologies. And I think we really focused on how we lower the costs of the railway, how we make it more reliable. Ultimately, you have a good product if you can show you can get more people on trains, they can get to where they need to go, be it work or school or hospital, on time with affordable ticket prices, and also move more freight around the country. So, you know, we've gone to GCRE because we wanted to test some of those products. And if we can show we can lower costs or make the railway more reliable in a real environment, you know, you've got a good product that's going to sell to clients.
So before GCRE was an option, Noel, how would you typically test those sorts of innovations?
We would test them all the way around Europe. So I've been to lots of test facilities around Europe. As Simon said, there is existing test facilities, but they all do individual things. So for Great Western electrification to Cardiff, we did testing in Germany, Switzerland, Italy, Japan, as well as some in the UK. But it was all over, very spread out, very sporadic. You couldn't really take people to show it. Some of the stuff we've managed to do at GCRE, we tested two products that are still up there being tested now. But you can really test things to an extreme. It's on the edge of a national park. It has everything the weather can throw at it. You can really test things to destruction. You can take people in the snow, in the rain, in the sunshine, all on the same day, and really give people confidence. Ultimately, you want a client can look at your product and know, well, yeah, that's going to work. If it can survive on top of a mountain in the national park there, then yeah, it definitely will work on the railway.
The good old Welsh weather is playing its part here, as well as everything Simon's outlined, Noel. That's good to hear. Now, obviously, as we've already heard, GCRE is in its early phases, and there are far more plans in the pipeline if Simon and his team can bring it to fruition. Noel Dolphin, what difference would it make to your firm and, in your view, to the wider industry if all those other innovations do come to pass?
I really see that GCRE could be a hub. Simon's already mentioned Silverstone and Formula One, some other R&D hubs like Cambridge with pharmaceuticals and computing. There are already a huge amount of rail companies in Wales, more than most people realise. I'm sure Noel from Rhea can explain that later on, but there is already a lot of work going on in Wales. Transport for Wales is hugely innovative. It's done some world firsts. For instance, the world's largest train charge station is at Tafswell. And I don't think people shout about that enough. There is a huge amount of engineering experience, both from in the railway and outside the railway. For our project at GCRE, or for one of them, we use a lot of cutting edge composites. And a lot of that technology has come from aerospace engineers based in Wales. So we're taking technology from other industries in Wales and applying them to GCRE and our testing there. I think it's got a real opportunity to become another hub, but all based in Wales for rail. So yeah, I think it's got a huge potential.
And in your view, how significant is that for Wales? Now, I know your business, although you've obviously got a really significant base in the UK, the company itself is based in Switzerland. So looking at it from a European point of view, how much of a game changer do you think this would be in terms of putting Wales on the map for the industry Europe-wise?
I think it's hugely important. I've done some work for the Office of Rail and Road, which is the UK rail regulator, recently looking at how we get more innovation in the UK. And I spoke to almost 100 suppliers from UK and around Europe, and rail is difficult to get into. We have assets that last 100 years. It has to be safe, has to get people to work on time. You know, the railways really need high reliability much more than almost anything apart from aerospace. When I spoke to lots of suppliers, they had a real reticence about coming to the UK. I spoke to one supplier that really sticks in my mind, who made diesel powered tools, and they wanted to use batteries instead. But they saw the UK as such a headache to get testing and product approvals for. They just decided to stick with diesel tools rather than swapping to batteries. And it would be so much more pleasant for the people using the tools, but also the people who live next door to the railway and our stations, if they were batteries. And I think somewhere like GCRE has the real opportunity to bridge between innovators and infrastructure, and it can build on the work that Transport for Wales is already doing to become innovative.
Thank you, Noel. So Noel Travers, let's turn to you then. Now you're here wearing two hats for us today. So first of all, tell us a little bit about Buckland Rail that you're the CEO of.
Good morning, Gemma. Yeah, Buckland Rail is a family fund, private equity owned collection of three railway businesses, comprising Yellow Rail, that is a maintainer and overhauler of passenger and freight vehicles, Davis Wagon Services, that is a maintainer of freight wagons, and WH Davis, that is a designer and manufacturer of freight wagons based in the Midlands, but actually with operations nationwide, including in South Wales.
Ah, now, interesting, Noel. Now, before we come on to talk about the other hat that you're wearing today, the Railway Industry Association, just thinking about Buckland Rail then, what is your view of the future of GCRE? What difference could that make to you as a business?
So using a very specific example, one of the projects that we're currently looking at is the development of high-speed freight wagons. So at the minute, freight trains in the UK operate either at 60 miles per hour maximum speed or at 75 miles per hour for intermodal container trains. And in a network that is heavily constrained and hasn't got much capacity, one of the areas that we think you can increase the capacity is by moving the trains faster so they keep up with passenger trains. So we're looking at the development of a freight wagon that will do up to 90 or 100 miles per hour. Now, when you're developing a new technology like that, and this is still at the very early stages, but when we have a product that is designed and manufactured, taking that to test it on the mainline railway is always going to be a challenge. Using an operating railway to test new products just feels like the wrong thing to be doing. It isn't a good use of that constrained capacity on the network, but equally, you're testing innovations, and with that comes risk. And the right place to test that risk and generate the best product without adding risk to the network is to do it off network. And sites like GCRE would give us that opportunity.
Wow, that is really interesting. Now, with your other hat on there, Noel, Chair of the Railway Industry Association. First of all, tell us a little bit about that. You know, who are the members? How many of them are there?
So the Railway Industry Association is the primary trade group and representative body for the UK's railway supply industry. We represent over 450 member companies, including over 70 that are members of our West Wales and Western region. And they range from multinational organizations to small and medium-sized enterprises that manufacture equipment, provide services, and build infrastructure for the rail network.
And Noel Dolphin referenced the fact that most of us lay people probably don't realise the significance of the rail industry in Wales, you know, quite how many businesses there are operating in this sector. Paint a little picture of that for us, Noel Travers.
So, yeah, we have a regional organisation as well as a national organisation. And in each of our regions, we have companies that are either based in an area or are looking to generate business in an area that join those regions. And as I say, in our Wales and Western region, we've already got over 70 companies that are registered and take part regularly in the events and showcases that we hold. So there will be no doubt many more organizations that are based in and around Wales or interested in coming to do work in Wales, but that's the 70 that are already registered and no doubt employing many thousands of people in the area.
And you mentioned SMEs as well. So I think we've already talked about sort of some big companies that might be wanting to avail themselves of the opportunities that GCRE might bring. But in your view, Noel, what does this development mean for those SMEs that are already perhaps your members or certainly in the supply chain for your members?
So SMEs tend to be the source of most innovation. Large companies have a tendency to stifle innovation a little bit because it's avoiding the risk that comes with innovation. So many innovations come from SME organizations. And if you speak to any SME that is developing new solutions, new products, new technologies, the biggest challenge is not in developing the idea, it's in realizing the idea and getting it into a real operation where somebody's willing to pay for that product. And the biggest challenge that comes with that is developing the product to be a real life example, and then testing it and proving it in a safe environment that you can then demonstrate, as Noel alluded to with the developments he's put into GCRE, actually bring a client along where they can see the product in operation, working in the wonderful Welsh climate, in all weathers, and doing exactly what developer intended it to do. Otherwise, you're asking your customers to take a risk on something that's not proven. And sometimes having to put that into an operating effort, like I alluded to with the high-speed freight, it's a really difficult thing to get signed off because of the risk that you're importing. And that's not just about safety risk, that it's also operational risk. On a heavily utilized network, if you put a new product in that hasn't been tested properly and fails, you can cause havoc to everybody's daily journeys. And that's not an outcome that anybody likes to see. So SMEs, as the primary developers of innovative solutions, are probably the parts of the supply chain that will benefit most from having an off-network testing facility.
Thank you, Noel. Simon, let's bring you back in there. So that's an interesting point that Noel makes there about the SME community in the rail sector. So what is your vision for what GCRE will offer to those SMEs alongside what it's going to offer for the larger manufacturers and the potential maybe for clusters?
Well, exactly. You've taken the word right out of my mouth there. Those kind of startup companies, those SMEs, are more likely, I guess, in some way to move some or maybe all of their operation to here, which kind of goes back to the original goal of GCRE, creating economic prosperity in an area that's been, disadvantaged by post-industrialization, because we will have something here that people can't get anywhere else. But just having it isn't going to be enough. We're going to have to create layers of support around that, the kind of typical business support services that you might expect. When I was last on with you, Gemma, we were joined by Mark John, who was involved in setting up Tramshed, and that's their business model, isn't it? They create spaces for SMEs in the tech sector there to be able to develop and prosper, and they provide the support and the wrappers that go around that. I mean, that's what we envisage happening here at GCRE for our tenants, for our clients, for the those kind of SME businesses that want to work with us. So we're not seeing this as just a kind of hard engineering playground for people. This will be somewhere where people can develop and prosper their own businesses as well as getting the engineering right. So, you know, there's quite a depth of ambition there. But we're working with some really brilliant partners to help us do that. The Railway Industry Association have been hugely supportive to us. For example, the RIA hold an annual innovation conference, which for the last 3 years has been held in Newport. So the eyes of the UK rail innovation world have been focused on South Wales for the last few years anyway. And we want to continue that. We want to continue working with RIA on those kinds of ideas. And an awful lot of the people who attended those conferences are from SMEs. They see the value of clustering and working together. And we just want to amplify that.
Thank you, Simon. Noel Dolphin.
Sorry, I just wanted to jump in there. I am an SME, so really feel that innovation valley of death. You have a prototype, you have a great idea, but really struggle commercializing it. And I think GCRE has already shown it can be that conduit from having a great idea and a prototype to scaling. We did two demonstrations and tested products at GCRE, but while we were there, there was also people testing graphene reinforced concrete, self-healing concrete, some AI-powered drone projects, There was a really revolutionary low-cost signaling system, and some of those have already scaled up and are commercialized. So the signaling system is now being used on the Heart of Wales line. So some of these projects that were just previously, I think, would have just died, GCRE provides a real venue to help them scale.
Interesting point, Simon.
Yeah, and I just to add a bit more to what Noel said about that competition. There were a dozen businesses that were supported, mostly SMEs. And I think one of the bits of feedback that we had from them was that by being at GCRE, they were able to get a spotlight shone on them that they wouldn't have been able to get otherwise on their own. So that, you know, I suppose that's the clustering effect in action there, Gemma. It really, really interestingly, what came back from those dozen companies was the financial impact of being able to showcase their products and services at GCRE. We haven't had these numbers verified by governments, so they are, take them with a bit of a pinch of salt. But between those companies, they told us that as a result of being at GCRE, they'd secured either investment or orders to the total of £500 million on the back of being at GCRE. Now that may be overstated, but you know that was a competition that was funded by UK government to the tune of £8 million. So that, I mean, even if that's overstated by an order of magnitude, that is still a massive return on investment for the government. And it's, you know, that's us just dipping our toes in the water at GCRE. There's a lot more to go at.
Noel Travers, I mean, those figures are quite startling, aren't they? And it feels to me that there's also the opportunity for cross-pollination of ideas if these businesses are in the same sort of geographic area and the same facility. How exciting is this for the rail industry?
Oh, I think it could be absolutely massive for the rail industry. The ability and the examples that Simon discussed earlier of Silverstone, Myra, the what's going on in the automotive world, where you get a collection of like-minded industries in the same area, bouncing off each other, seeing the progress that's being made, that type of community can only facilitate the growth of these SMEs and the really important commercialization of the ideas, because it only takes one company to be a success for then to be able to share its learnings with the other companies that are close by, and understand what it is that's allowed them to get the product from the drawing board into commercial service that could help these other, and SMEs by their very nature tend to be, they are very small organizations, but they tend to be relying on one or two key individuals to actually bring ideas to life. And that can be a very lonely environment. And so the ability to share that environment with like-minded individuals and learn from each other can be hugely positive.
And Noel Travers, going back to something Simon said a little bit earlier, where he spoke about the export opportunity that GCRE could present, how important is that for the rail industry more widely as well?
So generally for the supply chain, the rail industry, unfortunately, tends to be quite cyclical. So we have periods of a huge amount of work and then quieter periods. We've experienced one recently for many, many different reasons. And actually, the way for the supply chain to survive that is to take the products and services that are developed in the UK and move them into international marketplaces. So what we can't always do is replicate an international railway in the UK, but GCRE can. We're very lucky that railways tend to be relatively standardized around the world, so technologies that we can develop in the UK are very, very readily applied elsewhere in the world, and there's many examples of other national railways helping their supply base to develop solutions, knowing that they are then going to be exportable so that the country gets the benefit of those export revenues coming back into it. So export is a key area of focus for the industry and indeed for the Railway Industry Association.
Now I'm conscious of time, so before we bring this episode to a close, I'd like to come to you all with the same question. And that is, in your view, what are the next steps that need to happen to bring GCRE to full fruition? And by that, I mean, you know, who needs to do what? What's the role of industry here and what's the role of government? Noel Dolphin, can I start with you?
Yeah, I would really like to see government, both in Wales and London, to really consider the wider economic benefits of GCRE. We often see it framed in terms of cost, but there are genuine real benefits that if an R&D cluster did develop at GCRE, that would impact everyone who lives locally. There's both the jobs aspect. There's a huge amount of engineering skill locally. There's lots of issues with employment in the region, particularly due to the steelworks issues. But the average person in rail earns a third more than the average UK salary. So these are really good jobs that would mean a lot to people. So there's huge employment opportunities. And also the wider economic benefits from a supply chain. When we developed our project at GCRE, we wanted a local supply chain. If something went wrong and we were testing one day, we needed someone locally who could provide spares or replacements or send an engineer out to fix things. We couldn't have to wait 3 weeks for something to be shipped from China. We needed a local supply chain. And that's not just us. That went for most of the projects that were tested there. If you could build an R&D cluster at GCRE, there would be massive wider economic benefits from that supply chain. So yeah, I really hope politicians can not just think about costs, but think about benefits to the economy.
And Noel Travers, the same question to you.
So to me, it's really important that we end up with GCRE being built. Simon talked earlier about the challenges that are faced by the private sector by itself funding GCRE. So what we would like to see is the right level of government support, and that is not in the form of additional funding per se. That is in commitments for the national elements of government-funded bodies, such as Transport for London, such as the DfT operator, such as Network Rail, guaranteeing a level of use of the facility that will allow the private sector to take the risk of actually getting on and constructing it, so it, to its full extent, or at least to the initial extent, so that we can start seeing some revenue coming in, and that revenue in itself will then support a business case for the development. So what's really important to me, if we're going to realise the benefits for the rail industry, but also the economic benefits for Wales, that we get on and get GCRE built. And at a time where there isn't much money in the coffers, the best way of doing that is by supporting, getting the national operators, national players, to actually guarantee a certain amount of use.
Thank you, Noel. And Simon, the final word to you.
Thanks, Gemma. I talked a little bit about what I think the next steps are, really. It's engaging with the new Welsh government, talking to them about the opportunity for innovation. You know, a homegrown cluster of international importance sounds like a really attractive thing for a new government. Really interesting to hear Noel Dolphin just talking about the premium that's paid in the railway world, and that's a very true thing. And it was no accident that this economic development project focused on the railway because of that kind of premium. And I know that the new government is very interested in productivity enhancements. Most of our site is in Powys. Powys is the local authority in the UK with the lowest productivity levels of anywhere in the country. It would be very welcome, I think, for the county. And it's really interesting to see that the county's recent consultation on their economic strategy figures GCRE, you know, quite significantly. And so I guess local people can understand, are supportive of what we're trying to do. So I think, to go back to the question, what needs to happen next? We need to work with the new Welsh government. They've got a great opportunity over the course of the 4-year parliamentary term to be able to get GCRE up and running. And wouldn't that be a fantastic achievement for the government to be able to take forward?
Thank you, Simon. And thank you very much to my guests for this episode. Simon Jones, Chief Executive at the Global Centre of Rail Excellence. Noel Travers, Chief Executive Officer of Buckland Rail and Chair of the Railway Industry Association. And Noel Dolphin, Managing Director at Furrer & Frey. And thank you for listening.